How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined, as always, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. And it is WrestleMania Sunday. I'm here live in New Orleans, Louisiana. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here on the program today. We're going to give you a full preview of WrestleMania. We've been doing that for weeks, actually. We have a couple of new additions to the show. We'll be talking about that. Plus, last night was the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. We're going to be talking about that. I was there at the show live, and Mike was watching on the WWE Network. And, of course, last night was a big day. In the sense, the feeling was that if the WWE Hall of Fame went off flawlessly on the WWE Network, then they're probably not going to have a problem with WrestleMania this afternoon. If it crashed and everybody had problems, well, they were going to have a lot of problems today. And of course, this was a big deal as well because the new baseball season is getting ready to kick off. And as a result, there were a lot of people that were signing up for MLB.TV. And apparently, over the last week, MLB.TV, which of course is the same company that is providing the feed for the WWE Network, they were having a lot of problems. So obviously a lot of people very worried about that, but it appears that the Hall of Fame went off largely without a hitch. Did have a couple of reports here and there of people that had problems, but mostly it appears that these were problems on the user's end. And that largely the network stayed up for the entire Hall of Fame ceremony, including the Warrior speech. So we're going to talk about that, plus everybody else that participated in the Hall of Fame last night. As noted, we'll talk about WrestleMania. We'll tell you everything that's going on here in New Orleans. It's been a pretty crazy week, actually. Wrestlers everywhere. So a lot of stuff to talk about here today. No time to waste. We're going to kick it off when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And today is WrestleMania Sunday, the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania. Got a lot of stuff to talk about here on the program over the next hour, including the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony, which a lot of people are talking about, with the Warrior being inducted. And Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's WrestleMania Day, so how could you not be happy about that?
Are you sad you're not here in New Orleans?
I am a little bit sad I'm not there in New Orleans.
Now, the big question that everybody has going into today, actually, there's a lot of big questions, but one of them is, if you did not watch the Hall of Fame, for those listening tonight who didn't watch the Hall of Fame, which quite frankly is probably the fewest number of all time because of the WWE Network, how was your stream last night?
My stream was actually pretty good, believe it or not. The first half of it, I was on the road, and I decided, well, let me see if I can actually, you know, get this through the Verizon, you know, Wi-Fi, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, no big deal. It actually worked out pretty well as far as the audio goes. The video wasn't that good, but as you're driving, you know, and skipping through cell towers, it actually, to me, performed a lot better than I thought it would. And then we got home a little bit before. I'm trying to think of who it was. Jake Roberts. Right as Jake Roberts was ending, I went and turned it on, and then outside of a couple of little glitches that froze the screen up, it was perfect. I never lost audio. There were a couple of glitches with the video, but that only lasted for really a few seconds, and that was it. So it did give me a little bit more confidence coming into tonight as far as the possibilities of this thing, you know, actually really holding on. Although, then again, I guess the amount of people watching the Hall of Fame probably wasn't anywhere near the amount of people that I'll be watching tonight.
You know, what's funny is we're now in an era where you can watch the pay-per-views or these specials literally from anywhere, as you noted, you were on the road. And the funniest thing I saw last night was we're at the Hall of Fame, and this guy is there, and he's sitting, and he's there live at the event. And what does he have? He has his phone in front of him with his headphones in, and he's watching the WWE Network feed of the Hall of Fame as he's at the Hall of Fame. It was incredible. But yeah, you can if you want to hear the commentary for WrestleMania today and you're live in the building, all you got to do is get those headphones and listen to the show on the network as it airs. Of course, it's going to be about a minute behind, which was kind of fun for me because I was living in the future. So anytime anything happened, I could alert everybody a minute before it actually occurred of what was going down to the Hall of Fame. So that was kind of fun. But yeah, the Hall of Fame was very interesting. Warrior was the main event. He didn't do anything all that crazy. He got his digs in at a couple of people. He got some digs in at Triple H and at Ted DiBiase. But at the end of the day, he went out there. He wasn't crazy. You know, a lot of people were wondering if he was going to be crazy. And he admitted that during his speech. He goes, I know this is probably the most anticipated speech in the history of sports entertainment, I believe he said. And quite frankly, it was. I suspect that Vince was probably sweating bullets there backstage. Looked to me like maybe Warrior had some things that he wanted to say that he decided, all right, fine, I'm not going to say it. But largely, he got he got everything in that he wanted to say. He got a lot of comeuppance for a lot of things during his career. It was a very compelling speech. I don't know if I could call it like a great speech, but I thought he did a very good job. And I thought if you went to see Warrior, you probably got largely exactly what you expected, outside of him just going completely crazy. What did you think of the Warrior speech?
I kind of thought the same thing you did. I think there were a few things that he wanted to say that he decided to pull back on. But, you know, he didn't just get a pound of flesh. He got a couple of pounds of flesh, which I guess that's really what this whole thing was all about. When you reach out and you try to extend the olive branch or whichever direction that olive branch was to get him in. I'm sure he negotiated that in, that he wasn't going to be cut off or anything like that. And he was, you know, he got the dig in on DiBiase. He got the dig in on, you know, with Vince and with Triple H and with Jerry McDivitt. He actually was able to take a shot at him as well. So I guess it was good. It was, you know, the speech itself, if you look at it as a normal speech, from the outside world, it was all over the place. He was sweating like a pig. There was a little bit of language, and not a lot, but there was, you know, a little bit in there. So if you look at it from that direction, it wasn't the greatest speech in the world or anything, but as far as wrestling speeches go, especially one that comes from the Warrior to a group that he never thought, you know, I don't think anybody really, you never say never in the wrestling business, but this one seemed like it was going to be far, far away just because of how nasty it's been and how little both sides seemingly really needed each other in the grand scheme of things. But it happened, and it was one of two speeches on the night that, again, it was, if nothing else, they were quite interesting.
As a little kid, my favorite wrestler was the Ultimate Warrior for a while. And in fact, you're all listening to this show right now because of the Ultimate Warrior. And so I really wanted to see the speech. You know, I as I got older, I realized this guy's really not very good at pro wrestling. But, you know, he came back in WCW. He had one of the worst matches I ever seen. He disappeared again. You'd see him do these promos on the internet. And it's funny when you watch his promos that sometimes he came off as just like a complete crazy man. You know, you'd watch a promo or you'd read something that he wrote and it was just like all of this gibberish and insanity. And it wasn't even like him being a character. It was just he'd write this crazy stuff. And then, you know, sometimes he'd put something on the internet and you'd go, this guy's really got his stuff together. He's making very good points. He's rational. He's logical. You know, this is kind of fascinating. And that is the Warrior we got here at this speech. You know, sometimes you'll see a Hall of Fame speech and you'll just go, okay. You know, sometimes you'll see a speech and the guy will just be, you'll be, amazed by it. It'll be like a great speech. It'll be compelling. They'll get another guy and it's just like, this dude's nuts. Warrior was just sort of like, I never thought for a second that he was full of it. In his, it seemed to me that in his mind, he was being completely honest about everything.
I think that was a better way to put it.
Sure. In his mind, he was honest about everything. He had a lot of stuff to get off of his chest. He had a lot of daggers he needed to twist, which he did. And at the end of the day, you know, he mentioned he really didn't want to talk about the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD, but he kind of had to. You couldn't do the speech without it. And his conclusion was that it would be cool if everybody could self-destruct like I did, because supposedly his career self-destructed. But as he noted, here I am on the stage, the main eventer of the Hall of Fame of WrestleMania 30. Clearly, I didn't do all that bad. So it was a great day for him. I appear to have lost Mike Sempervivi. We'll get him back here in a second. It was a great day for him. He got a chance to really get his revenge on a lot of people. And he got a chance to say, this is my career. This is the way that I saw it. I was a very successful guy. In my mind, I was a good guy. And I'm very proud of myself and all of my children and everything else. So at the end of the day, it was a great speech. I really had a good time. And that was the Warrior. Of course, the other greatly compelling speech on the show was that of Jake the Snake Roberts. Now, DDP was the guy that inducted Jake Roberts into the Hall of Fame. And they had actually had a chance to practice this speech before, because Jake Roberts was inducted. He was an award recipient for the Cauliflower Alley Club. And so if you went to the Cauliflower Alley Club this year, you saw DDP do a speech, induct Jake the Snake Roberts, and then Jake the Snake Roberts did his speech. And the word we got was that it was amazing. And it was apparently a dry run for this speech, which was absolutely incredible. And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I am here live in New Orleans, getting ready for the biggest show of the year, and in fact, quite frankly, as a result of everybody that is watching on the WWE Network, probably the most watched WrestleMania ever. Coming up today from the Superdome here in New Orleans, we are here talking the WWE Hall of Fame and a bunch of other topics as well. And before the break, I was talking about the Jake Roberts DDP induction, which was quite incredible. And Mike, what did you think of this speech?
Oh, the Jake Roberts speech was really something else. Again, like you said before, I was on the road and driving home, and you know, my wife knows a little bit about the Jake Roberts story, but nowhere near, obviously, what we know and what people listening would know about Jake Roberts. And she was just blown away, absolutely blown away. You know, you hear him for the first time, and you know, she hasn't heard him in years, so you hear him for the first time, you hear that voice, it's like, my God, what has this guy done to himself? And his, and you listen to the speech, it's just, as it went on by the end, you know, I could see her not wanting to tear up, but I think she was when he showed off his kids and he was talking, because, you know, he should have been dead a long time ago. He and Scott Hall both should have been dead several times over for a long, long time now. And to see them in the condition that they're in, after, you know, with DDP sticking with them and then having them live with him, doing the yoga, dieting down, you know, losing some vices. It's absolutely incredible. And I think, you know, everybody's going to talk about Mr. T's mama. Everybody's going to talk about the Ultimate Warrior getting his digs in. But really, I hope this doesn't change anything with the Hall of Fame. Those two speeches, as far as how long these guys are able to go or the content they're able to talk about, because Jake Roberts and Scott Hall, but especially Jake Roberts, it is really an incredible redemption story, and I hope these guys aren't cut as the years go on and they go back to what they did to the Funks, which is, you know, let them have a chance to talk, because for every guy out there who's going to go off the rails a little bit, hopefully there's a guy like Jake Roberts that, or someone like that with a story who gets his opportunity to really get it out there to people that, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of wrestling fans. Most of the people there knew what was up with Jake Roberts. But there may have been somebody who's been watching, you know, who doesn't follow wrestling as closely as all of us, who heard that story and was blown away by it, because it really is something else.
You know, I don't know if they're going to bring the clock back next year. There was no clock this year. I don't think there was a clock last year either. But after the Mr. T speech, if they bring a clock back next year, you're going to know why. Mr. T and his mama, I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, Jake Roberts was... my trip to New Orleans was justified by DDP's induction and Jake Roberts' speech. DDP is... he should go to the Hall of Fame because of this induction next year. He was great. And Jake Roberts is such a... he's such a compelling character. He was the only guy, and part of this was because he talks in a whisper, which is a good trick to get people to listen to you. You talk very quietly. And he, which I've never learned, by the way. So he gets out there and he's doing this speech, and there were moments where the crowd was just like, there was that one person in the entire building that was saying a word when he was speaking. There was nobody like this. Nobody all night long. Everybody, when they did their speech, you know, you could kind of hear a little bit of buzzing. You know, this person's talking to their friend, this person's doing whatever, blah, blah. When Jake was speaking, dead silence, listening to Jake Roberts. And to me, the most defining part of it was he's talking about his career and how when you're a wrestler, you know, the day comes where you just can't do it anymore. And this pop that you can get from manipulating the crowd, being able to manipulate them is something that you can just, there's nothing like it. And he says, I just wish I could do it again. And I was like, oh, really? You are completely manipulating the crowd right now. And I'm not saying that any of his speech was not, you know, I'm not trying to say anything negative about his speech or that he wasn't being honest or that he was working the people or anything like that. I'm just saying that as he spoke, he was completely captivating and manipulating the emotions of this audience. It was an incredible speech. And if you've not seen it yet, and I have no idea how anybody listening to this would not have seen the Hall of Fame, because you're listening to this and you've probably watched it on the network. But if you didn't, you got to go back and watch this speech, as well as the Mr. T speech, which what a speech this was. Mr. T got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And Gene Okerlund does the induction, but then he calls out Mr. T Jr. Junior T, I think they called him. What did they call him? Little T, Junior T, Mr. T Jr.
Yes, small Junior T.
Yeah, lowercase T. So he comes out and he introduces his dad. That's all he did. He just comes out and he goes, "Here's my dad." So Mr. T comes out and I expected it to be just like, you know, kind of a quick speech. And Mr. T says, "I just want to say a few words about my mother. Please bear with me." He then proceeded to talk about his mother. How long was this, Mike? Did you time this?
You know what? I swear to God, I was hoping to see somebody do it, because if nobody did it today, I was actually going to time it at some point and actually count the references to the word mother.
It was... I have a report here from Dave that it was 20 minutes. He didn't time it to the second. But Mr. T talked about his mother for 20 minutes. And it was an amazing speech, because at first he's talking about his mother and he's talking about God. And everybody, because it's the Hall of Fame, they're very nice about it. They're like, okay, yeah, yay God, you know, yay Mr. T's mama. Great. Clapping.
You don't want to move God or your mama. You just don't want to.
Sure. Yeah. You don't want to be. So then at about the 10 minute mark, people are like, okay, all right, we've heard plenty about God. We've heard plenty about your mama. Let's move on now. And you can hear the crowd starting to get restless. Mr. T keeps going. Mr. T loves his mama. He's got more to say. So he goes on and on and on. And the crowd's really starting to get on. They're starting to get on edge now, and you could tell it's gonna potentially be bad. So then Mr. T begins to explain that he loves his mother every day. He loves his mother on President's Day. He loves his mother on Columbus Day. He loves his mother on St. Patrick's Day. Even, he says, he loves his mother on Father's Day. And at this point in the speech, for whatever reason, he completely turned himself babyface. Place just starts going nuts. They're chanting, "This is awesome," which, by the way, they have not done for any other speech thus far. They're having the time of their lives now with Mr. T's speech about his mother. But then he just keeps going, and he keeps going, and he keeps going. And now he's starting to turn the crowd the other way. It's starting to get ugly again. And so finally, at the 20-minute mark, Kane's music hits. And they send Kane out on stage, and Mr. T is just like, "All right, I'm done." And he picks up all his stuff, and he walks to the back. And yes, for those of you wondering, that was not scheduled to be the end of Mr. T's speech. Mr. T, at about, I don't know how long it was, but Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, who were producing the show, apparently backstage, they're starting to lose their mind. And there were two times that I heard that Vince was losing his mind backstage. He was losing his mind during Mr. T's speech, and he was losing his mind when Carlos Colon decided he was all of a sudden going to start doing his entire speech in Spanish. Those were the two times that I heard that Vince was just losing it. So they legit sent Kane out to get Mr. T off the stage. And from start to finish, this was probably one of the most memorable speeches I've ever seen, just because of the entire, from start to finish, it was just incredible. Dave is tweeting me during the whole thing, or he's texting me just like, "Oh my God, is this, we're going to be here all night." It was something else. What did you think of the Mr. T speech?
It was great.
Was it the greatest or the worst speech of all time?
It both. And it can be that way for us. If this was going to be the start of an hour or 90-minute speech that Mr. T's come into your business and putting on some sort of speech, I don't want to bash it too much. I'm not sure what Mr. T was thinking. Now, granted, if you want to talk about scripture and your mother, that's great. But how long was he told? I mean, did he think this was going to be this T give hour long?
I have no idea. I don't even know what his intention was.
It was amazing. I mean, it was 20 minutes of just, and he never, it's not like he buried and talked about something else. This was purely about his mother, about raising them, about being in the hood, about her urinary tract when he was being born. I'm sorry, y'all, people, if you have not seen this, watch this thing. And I felt kind of bad for him at the end because he seemed surprised when Kane went out, but it's like I'm also thinking, what did you think this was going to be where you could actually speak for like 4 hours or whatever it was? Because there was no end in sight to this thing, just none whatsoever. But, I mean, it was, as far as speeches go, it was not a very good one. As far as emotional tips of the hat to your mother, it was something else. He did a hell of a job there.
Yeah, I don't know what his intentions were. I mean, it was clear during the speech that a lot of it was meant for comedy. You know, but it was kind of like a thing where once you hit your high spot and everyone's chanting, "This is awesome," now's the time to wrap it up. Don't try and go 10 more minutes. And I mean, he did have some funny lines. I mean, I was just laughing like crazy. Everybody was enjoying themselves. And then it's just like, it was the best of all worlds. It was like the best and worst Hall of Fame speech you could ever have. So another one that you should make sure you check out on the WWE Network. We're going to head to a break. When we come back, we got to preview WrestleMania. We got about a half hour, 20 minutes left on the show. So we're going to get into a WrestleMania preview. We largely did it last week, so we're going to rush through a lot of it. But we do have some new information about WrestleMania. There are some big stars that are going to be showing up at the event, so we're going to tell you about that. It is our preview for WrestleMania here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. If you want to listen to the live show, make sure you check out Sports Byline USA on the TuneIn Radio app. If you search Wrestling Observer, you'll probably hear a replay of last week's show. That's just for future reference. You can check us out on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, and so much more. And of course, if you're not a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, you are missing out. Daily radio shows. We cover everything in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We got radio shows every single day. If you only get to hear this show once per week, you are missing out. You could be listening to 10 to 15 brand new radio shows a week. And as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, it's a great compliment to the WWE Network. Our on-demand library, we have over 5,000 radio shows dating back to 2005. Some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling have appeared on the show. A lot of the big names from WrestleMania weekend have appeared on our show in the past. Clearly, just a couple of days ago, we had Jim Ross here on the program. And I was at Jim Ross's one-man show in New Orleans. Had a great time. Steve Austin showed up as a special guest. It was great. It's been great here in New Orleans. But if you've missed any of it, or if you are if you're planning to watch any of the stuff this weekend, which I'm sure you are missing out if you do not subscribe to WrestlingObserver.com. As low as $9.99 a month, try it out. If you head to WrestlingObserver.com, we got a list of our latest free shows that you can check out. You can also check out our live stream. We've got a WrestleMania preview on there right now. Might be able to check that out after you're done listening to this show. That is up at WrestlingObserver.com as well. It'll be playing throughout the afternoon, so make sure you head up and check that out. And as noted, WrestleMania is coming up today from New Orleans. And Mike, we're running out of time. Who leaves WrestleMania as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
It's Daniel Bryan, right? It's got to be Daniel Bryan. I know there's a lot of people that probably won't believe in the WWE at this point, especially those that are big Daniel Bryan fans. And I could be completely off base here. I could be completely wrong. They could have something planned. I just can't believe that those plans would be any better than Daniel Bryan walking out of WrestleMania with everyone chanting yes and him with both belts around on both shoulders going into tomorrow night. I think that would be insanity, and I just don't think they're going to do it. Daniel Bryan walks out with the belt.
We've got a couple of interesting notes on this match. The betting odds are very interesting right now. Daniel Bryan is still the favorite to beat Triple H. However, there are now initial result odds and final result odds, which means that there are people, likely with a little bit of inside information, who believe that Triple H is going to beat Daniel Bryan initially, and there will be some sort of restart or something, at which point Daniel Bryan will get the win. Now, before we go any further with this preview, I have been told that there appear to be at least two WrestleMania scripts. One is the real one, and one is a dummy script. And most likely, the hope is that the dummy script gets out. A bunch of people put bets on certain matches, and this is not the actual script for the show. So it appears that there is a secret script out there that has all of the real finishes, and they're trying to keep that one under lock and key. And there's a dummy script that some people appear to be getting a little bit of information from in terms of the odds. My guess is that Daniel Bryan beats Triple H and Daniel Bryan leaves with the champion. I would actually be very surprised if they did anything else. It's possible, but I think it is very, very unlikely. And that, of course, leads us to the other big speculation. Is CM Punk going to be at the show today? And there are people actually taking odds on this. What do you think are the chances that we see CM Punk this afternoon?
You know, after the last time around, I mean, I think it's possible. Someone will on Monday, then, if he does show up, have to explain the logic to me. And you can spin it in that he had beef with Triple H and say, and this would play into what people are saying about Triple H beating Bryan initially. You know, he beats Bryan, Punk comes out, and I don't know. There's something you could do to tie it in that way. But it would only have to be something with Triple H of where it would make any sense for CM Punk to be back. And if he's going to be back, to me, it's something you would do on Monday night. He walked out. If this thing has been a whole elaborate work, which I certainly don't believe it is, It would be completely worthless and really take away, more than anything, it takes away from Daniel Bryan. It takes away from what you wanted the night to be. I think if he does come back, I honestly believe that. If he is, it should be tomorrow. And I to be honest, I just don't think the odds are very high at all. I could be wrong. I know as the days have gone on, there are people swearing up and down that he signs a new deal. And unlike the last time, no, damn it, we mean that he's going to be there. I, honest to God, until I see it, I won't believe it.
Well, I can tell you that among the wrestlers, there are a lot of wrestlers who are certain that he's going to be at the show. I can tell you that in asking around, everybody is being told there's no way he's going to be at the show. There are a lot of interesting things going on. AJ is at the AJ is not at the hotel with the other wrestlers. They got two hotels. One is the wrestler hotel that everybody is at for the most part. And the other is a hotel for the very, very biggest stars and any surprises. And for whatever reason, she is at that hotel. And so this has led a lot of wrestlers to think, my God, well, Punk must be coming in. Punk was in Chicago or outside of Chicago at an indie show on Friday. He was not hiding. Of course, that led a lot of people to be thinking, well, you know, he wants people to think he's not going to be at Mania because he is. I don't think he's going to be there, but it is possible. I've heard scenarios. I've heard ideas. I just think that Punk is not coming back unless he's getting that main event spot. He's not going to be getting the main event spot. The scenarios that I've heard involve him working with Triple H, who he walked out on. I would just be really surprised if he came back. I suppose anything is possible, but it is a big topic of conversation here in New Orleans, and I guess we're going to find out very, very soon. I can tell you there are going to be surprises on the show. Rock is here. Steve Austin is here. They're trying to get everybody here, obviously, as many big names as they can. There are going to be surprises on the show. Will a surprise be CM Punk? I don't think so. But it's wrestling. Anything's possible. All right. Also on the show, we have got The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. Any chance of Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker, in your opinion?
I guess there's a chance of anything, but I put that chance at, I don't know the decimal system too well, but it's like 0.0, a whole bunch of those, and then a one. There's just, to me, it's absolute insanity. Absolute insanity there, too. I'm not one for breaking the streak ever. With that said, it really shouldn't be Brock Lesnar, and in the way that things have gone with Brock Lesnar there. I think it'll be a good match, though. I think it'll be fun. It's not like Undertaker and Austin where they would never even have to touch. They're going to have to touch, but even though they'll do very little, or they in theory they'll do very little, the crowd's going to eat it up anyway because they love Brock. Paul Lee is great. And the Undertaker's the Undertaker, and for one time a year, people are going to lose their minds. And that's really, this year, that's what that one's all about. It's not about breaking the streak, even though that's what the selling point is. It's more about just making people go absolutely bananas for The Undertaker, and they're certainly going to do that with Brock Lesnar.
Cena and Wyatt.
I'd like to know what the odds are right now on that one, because as we talked about last week, the WWE, when it comes to sending home people with a smile and hurting John Cena in any, conceivable way, they tend to not want to do that. But I'm going to stick to my guns like last week. I think this takes place earlier on in the show. I think it takes, let's just say, around 9:30 Eastern time on a 4-hour show. It's an hour and a half in. You still got 2.5 hours left. You do it then. So if there's any bad feelings, those feelings go away with The Undertaker later on. It goes on with some of the fluff that you have. It goes away with Daniel Bryan conceivably winning at the end. So I think you go ahead and do it. How much interference you have, it's probably going to be a lot. I don't think Bray Wyatt beats him clean as a sheet, even though, frankly, I would do that. I really would do that. But that's not going to happen. But I'm still going to stick with my guns and that Bray Wyatt wins.
And the Shield against Kane and the Outlaws.
This is another one. I mean, on paper, it's a match. And I guess because no one sees it. I don't think the average fan would see it coming. if there was a turn in the Shield, because they are just cheering them like crazy right now. But I think that's the thing. They're cheering them like crazy right now. This is something that can easily be held off till Los Angeles and SummerSlam, or at least another show at some point in the year. But I would actually wait and do it then.
Well, I can tell you that as of this weekend, there is a proposed match for Extreme Rules. It's a big-time match, actually. And all three members of the Shield are listed on the babyface side. So, again, this could be something that's being thrown out to throw people off, and they do the breakup here tonight. But if not, it indicates that the Shield is, in fact, getting the babyface run. It's been talked about for a while of perhaps extending that all the way to SummerSlam. Originally, you know, Roman Reigns was either going to, he was either going to be a babyface, a singles babyface by now, or they were going to do the split tonight. But it appears they're holding that one off. And so likely those three guys will be doing something really big at Extreme Rules. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Big Show now has won two mini Battle Royals. Do you still think that he is the favorite for today? Or who walks out of there with this legit 5-foot trophy, not made out of gold?
They keep putting Big Show over, so I've kind of fallen into your camp right now. The fact he's won a little bit too much. If he got dumped over by everybody at some point or something like that, I'd be more apt to pick him. But I think he goes into another direction. To be honest, I'd like for them to get some steam rebuilt behind Big E Langston. I don't think that they will, though. You look at the other names in there, and at this point, the only two with taking Big E out of the equation that I could think would make sense would be Sheamus again. I think there's going to be some surprises in this Battle Royal. I just don't think any of the no-name surprises would be something I would do either, but a surprise that they haven't announced yet, that wouldn't be that major to people, but it could be later on down the road, is Alexander Rusev. And I think he's been conspicuous by them not, you know, announcing his name, and I don't know if they did the last couple of days and I missed it, but, you know, taking Show and Big E out of the equation, it comes down to him and Sheamus, and who could need it more? It could be him, and you could have Lana just sit there and stroking the trophy show after show.
Did you watch any other shows from this weekend in New Orleans? Have you seen anything else from Mania Weekend?
No, unfortunately not yet. I've been on the road for a lot of it, so I haven't. I've heard a lot of things, including a very Teddy Hart-like performance last night in Dragon Gate, but that's been about it.
Yeah, Teddy Hart is here with his cat. I've gotten first-person reports of this poor cat, who is his sidekick. But I did go to Ring of Honor on Friday for the ladder match show. Really, really good show. There were a lot of complaints about the chair shots to the head in the main event, but as a show overall, very, very good show. Heard the Friday night Dragon Gate USA show. I didn't see that show, but I heard the second half was just awesome. And the two main events, the Chris Hero main event and the Gargano Ricochet main event, I heard those were awesome. You may want to check those out. I went to the Shimmer show yesterday. And excellent show. I Ed in San Antonio got a ticket from my wife and took her there, and she had a good time as well. So that was a lot of fun. And then
that was the one that had the most.
Actually, hold on one sec. We'll get that when we come back from the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, getting ready for WrestleMania here in New Orleans. And we were talking about some of the other shows taking place in New Orleans this weekend. And Mike, what do you have to say about Shimmer?
That was one I was kind of most jealous of. I'll be able to see the New Japan show. Hopefully this week I'll see Shimmer. But how was who won the final match with Lufisto there and cheerleader Melissa?
Melissa won. She retained the title. They did a best of three falls match. And actually, they were teasing it was going to go 90 minutes. And had it gone 90 minutes, unfortunately, we probably would have had to have walked out because we had to make it to the WWE Hall of Fame. But there were a couple of matches on that show that got standing ovations. This is awesome chance. Main event was not the best match on the show, but there were a lot of good performances on the show. They for the most part, I mean, the girls work well. The matches aren't too long. They go just the right amount of time. The fans are they really understand the storylines and the people. And it was a good time. So I've been having a lot of fun here. There are wrestlers everywhere. I mean, any of the fans that have gone out and when people come here, they all go to the French Quarter. They all go to Bourbon Street. And so if you've been in either of those places, I mean, you've seen everybody from The Shield to Carlito to Mojo Rawley, who, by the way, the reports are Mojo Rawley in real life, living the gimmick. Exactly like the Mojo Rawley you see on television, completely out of his mind. So everyone's having a great time here. And as noted, I'm getting ready to head to the biggest show of the year. WrestleMania is coming up. We're going to have a lot of coverage of the show on the site later on this afternoon. So make sure you check that out at WrestlingObserver.com. Probably Mike and Dave will be up after the show tonight recapping everything. I will be up tomorrow. I'll be up Monday morning and Tuesday morning talking all of the events. And we just got so much stuff. So, of course, I want to thank Mike as always. Everybody listening, thanks so much to everybody who has said hi down here in New Orleans. Hope everybody has a great time watching WrestleMania. And, of course, we will be back next week with more. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.